Hello and welcome to the Relationship Anxiety Podcast. I'm your host, Mikkel, and today we're talking about distancing. Hey guys, what's up? We have an awesome episode here for you today. And before we dive in, I just want to say this is building on concepts in my attachment series podcast episodes. If you haven't yet, go listen to those because this will build on it. So if you go to my website, relationshipanxiety.com, you look at the resources, you can search for attachment and you will see the whole series. But we're going to kind of deep dive on that a little more today. And it's going to be so good no matter what end of the spectrum you fall on. Now, before we do that, we have to do a listener shout out because I got a review that I just love. This is from Jules12. And this person wrote, I found this podcast about a year and a half ago. I felt like I was questioning myself and my relationship on an obsessive level. I cried and felt sick every day, even though I was in such a loving, healthy relationship. I couldn't stop spiraling and wondering about all the what ifs. After a year of therapy, anxiety medication, and listening to this podcast, I am on the point where I feel so secure in my relationship. If you feel like there isn't a way out, please take the time to listen to this podcast and take care of yourself mentally, whatever that means for you. This podcast changed my whole perspective, and I hope it does for you too. Thank you so much, Jules, for writing that review. It was so cool to hear more about your journey and experience, and I'm excited for you feeling more secure. That is amazing. And for those of you listening that haven't taken the time to do a review yet, I would much appreciate it. It helps new people find the show. So you can just, if you're on the Apple Podcast app, you can scroll down to the bottom of the show and you'll see the place where you can leave a review. So maybe you have noticed a pattern where you feel okay and feel comfortable in relationships in the beginning, when it's starting out, or maybe just when we have the idea of being in a relationship with someone. But as soon as the relationship starts, you feel this need to break up. Or as soon as maybe you start talking about the future, things have maybe been going well as dating, but as soon as you start talking about the future, you feel this need to slow down or pull away. Or every time your partner talks about the idea of moving in together, you start really questioning everything about the relationship. Anytime there's this like step forward within the relationship, you begin to pull back. This is what is called distancing strategies. And this is something that is a very common in those of us with avoidant attachment patterns. And if you haven't yet, go listen to my avoidant series because it's going to be really helpful for you. If you go look up the avoidant podcast episode as well as the anxious one. But at a high level, avoidants are those of us who constantly question if this is the person we actually want to be with. And anxious are those of us who question if our partner really wants to be with us. And there are some of us that are a mix of these two styles. But distancing strategies is something that avoidants use. So whether you're an avoidant or you're an anxious in a relationship with an avoidant, this is going to be really helpful to understand. So avoidants have a very strong fear of too much intimacy, of too much vulnerability and closeness. And we might say on the surface, well, why wouldn't you want vulnerability or closeness? And it is something we want. But yet, often if we struggle with avoidant attachment or parts of us are avoidant, it's something we equally want, but yet push away for fear-based reasons. Intimacy often requires familiarity with our own emotions, understanding deep, dark parts of ourselves, understanding like the things we feel and the thoughts we have that we often don't want other people to see. And intimacy also means seeing that within someone else seeing vulnerable sides to them, our partner, seeing emotions or thoughts or feelings that aren't their best self. And I think that's a huge part of vulnerability, is showing things that we very frequently hide. And as an avoidant attachment, often that means we have a strong aversion to that vulnerability. We want others to see us as perfect, and we want to be in a relationship with someone that's perfect. We want to be very logical, and we want to think everything through and push away all the things that we are feeling. We like to ignore emotion. We want to intellectualize that we're not great at just feeling or experiencing things, and we're not great at welcoming our partner's emotional experience. We very much want to figure things out and logic through everything as an avoidant. So this is because we don't like vulnerability. We don't want others to see. We don't want to experience these uncomfortable feelings and sides of ourselves that we maybe feel shame around. So with this fear, often what happens is as we grow and build a relationship, it requires increased levels of vulnerability. And this can happen as we start to take steps forward in the relationship to new levels of commitment, but it can even just be through spending time with a person. I think of it for me, how much of my life I would have lots of different friends. I never really had best friends. I would just hang out with lots of different people, and I never wanted to hang out with anyone for too long. And I thought it was just because I was so social. Truly, it was an avoidance of vulnerability and intimacy, because I could have lots of different friends that weren't super close, lots of different relationships that were more shallow. It didn't require allowing people to see emotions or parts of myself that I was ashamed of. It allowed me to kind of live under the facade of like, oh, look, I'm perfect. At least certainly people didn't see it that way, but that was how I strove to present myself. So if that is the kind of system your subconscious has been operating on, then this naturally can start to clash with the objective of having a close, long-term, committed relationship. Because we start being with someone more than just a little bit of time. We want to create closeness. It requires allowing someone to see more than just what we think is perfect parts of ourselves. And it requires seeing that in our partner. I remember when my husband and I were first dating and, you know, spending time together and really like kind of being very hyper aware of how I was presenting myself and, you know, things that I was saying. It was really, really exhausting because I didn't have the chance to retreat and run away and hide from him. I was there, we were spending time together, and he was present. And it meant like I have to show different parts of myself that normally at this point with a friend, I would just go hang out with a different friend now. So, with all that to say, when this fear gets activated for an avoidant, the sense of, uh-oh, this requires too much vulnerability for me, we begin to start using what are called distancing strategies. Distancing strategies are the things that avoidants do to create a sense of safety when too much vulnerability is happening. So the way this might play out for you in your relationship could be moments when maybe your partner starts sharing things that they're struggling with or a hard emotion they're having. And then all of a sudden, your brain starts questioning everything about the relationship. And is this really right? And something might be wrong. You start really questioning the relationship. This becomes a distancing strategy. Your partner opened up. They're sharing this vulnerable side of themselves. And that is uncomfortable. That vulnerability is hard for you. So we then begin to question the relationship as a way of creating distance. Almost if you think of like a hug and this person comes up and hugs you, and instead we like push our arms out and we're like, space, too much. That was too much vulnerability for me. We begin to question and analyze the relationship as a way of creating space between ourselves and our partner. This also plays out in, you know, say you start having conversations about the future, you start talking about getting engaged, and then all of a sudden you feel this desire and frantic need to break up. Basically, what was happening there is our brain is saying, wait, whoa, too much closeness. I can't do that. Let's just get out and let's have space. So essentially, anytime there becomes too much vulnerability, too much closeness, we start using distancing strategies to maintain a sense of closeness that we are comfortable with. So these distancing strategies can look like questioning and overanalyzing the relationship, nitpicking your partner and different traits that they have, breaking up or mentally considering breaking up, spending a lot of time fantasizing about an imaginary partner or an ex that got away. It can look like withdrawing, actually physically leaving a situation, or emotionally withdrawing. Maybe we start being on our phone more, or we go to bed early. We shift to only talking about positive thoughts or feelings, or try to hurry and fix whenever our partner shares their vulnerability or things they're struggling with. So all of these are distancing strategies, ways that we look to escape that vulnerability. Now, often what happens, essentially when we have a distancing strategy that we're using, it's basically our avoidant parts are saying, this is too much closeness, can't handle it. We use a distancing strategy, we kind of put up a wall. And that wall, that distancing strategy, creates a sense of safety for ourselves. That avoidant side of us is like, phew, I escaped the danger. I escaped that vulnerability or that closeness that felt really threatening to me. I'm okay. Now, the problem with this becomes if what our desire is to have a long-term committed intimate relationship, that wall begins to block us. These distance strategies block us from taking those steps towards what we want to create. So I see this often with clients where, you know, a distancing strategy, you know, maybe to have that urge to hurry and break up with your partner. And you might react to that urge and hurry and get out of the relationship. And you feel a sense of relief and calm because that avoidant side of you feels like it's escaped danger. But as that relaxes and you begin to realize, hey, I'm okay, now we begin to feel that sense of, but wait, I just ran away from that goal I was working towards. I just ran away from a great possible potential future relationship, this thing that I've been wanting to create. And the avoidant side of us is open to going back to that relationship because we have sufficiently created distance. It's like, hey, okay, well, now that we broke up with them, they're kind of the one that got away. Now, like, they might be wanting to be with someone else and like, okay, now maybe, now that they're not so close, now that they're not the person right in front of us wanting to marry us, okay, now maybe I'll consider it, right? So this avoidant part of us will kind of relax once we've created that distance through a breakup or through like emotionally withdrawing or whatever it is, whatever that distancing strategy was, if we've done it effectively, our nervous system kind of relaxes a little bit and the avoidant side will kind of be like, okay, we can kind of pursue it again. And as we go into the relationship again, or maybe start working towards next steps or whatever that new level of vulnerability is that we're pursuing, then walls come up again. That avoidant side kicks in and says, whoa, 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 wait. We just got close again. We just got too close. Slow down. And then we might have that urge to break up again. And it becomes this dance, this push and pull of pulling away whenever intimacy, vulnerability becomes too much, and then jumping back in as soon as we realize this person might not be available or might not be there for us anymore. And we keep seeking like, okay, well, what's the right answer? What feels good? And neither feel good because our avoidance is so uncomfortable with vulnerability, but yet it clashes with the desire to have a close, intimate relationship. So rather than figure out, should I be with them? Should I not? The answer is to reconcile these conflicting sides of us. We have to learn how to help our avoidant attachment feel safe and feel secure in vulnerability, to feel safe and secure with our own emotions, with seeing someone else in their emotions, with taking steps forward towards the commitment in the future that you're wanting to create. It's creating a sense of safety for that avoidance, helping heal and work with that part of our nervous system in the way we attach and relate to other human beings. It's not to figure out, is this the person I should be with or not? Because all that is a distancing strategy. We question being in the relationship when we feel too much closeness. If you're an avoidant, it's a little different if you're anxious. We'll do another episode on that. But the true objective is learning, how do we create an actual sense of safety and security so we can open up to intimacy, open up to that vulnerability in a way that your nervous system can handle. A lot of times we swing from polar opposites where we hurry and pull away drastically, or we try to force ourselves to jump all in and be like totally committed for everything in the whole future. And that's just like too much. So it's learning, how do we take baby steps towards that committed long-term future that you desire while creating a sense of safety for that part of you that so desperately needs to pull away when things get too close. All right. Thanks so much for tuning in today, you guys. Have a beautiful weekend. We'll talk next week. Bye.